Oh my God, an insane goal!
The game's gone mad.
Welcome to the Game's Gone Mad podcast, where we run down the week's biggest football news. Today, we're going to be chatting about the 2018-19 season to see if there is anyone better than Pep, anyone luckier than Klopp, and anyone more annoying than Griezmann.
The game's gone mad.
I'm Olivia, and today I'm joined by Pete and Patrick. Pete, how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me back. I'm
no
back
problem.
By popular
nice
demand, I hear.
Apparently so. Patrick, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How do you feel being the only non-blonde? Are you okay with it?
I hadn't actually thought about it until now.
And you're feeling uncomfortable. A lot of the listeners won't realise that Patrick actually has a phobia of blondes.
I don't believe in them. I'm against them. Fortunately, Mike Atkins, who's recording, is also a brunette. So I have some backup.
So our main topic today is Man City winning the Premier League by just 1 point after they beat Brighton 4-1 on the last day of the season. What's everyone's reactions to the back-to-back title win?
Thank God for that. Literally, if Liverpool had won that title, their fans would have been completely insufferable.
They would have been, but you are a bit biased.
Yeah, but again, it's not like Tottenham are winning it. City or another rival is winning it.
Yeah.
Just a much less worse rival.
So does the back-to-back Premier League title win, Patrick, make Pep and Man City the best team and manager ever?
I mean, Ferguson did it quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I think probably with worse squads as well. However, I do think that
this... We're probably worse competition, though.
That's true. I do think that this City side is the best side that we've seen in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I mean, they've dropped 30 points over two seasons, which is absolutely crazy. I mean, Man United, I think, have dropped over 30 points since Christmas. So, I mean, like...
Yeah, but it's not really comparable, United team to a good United team.
Sure, but when you think about the standard criticism of City and Pep is how much money they've spent.
Yeah.
Then you think, actually, the amount of money spent is kind of comparable. Then you think, look at the scale of the achievement. And also, I mean, it's not a perfect squad, though. Like, given the deficiencies, particularly in midfield, I'm not sure that another manager has as good a season as Pep's had.
And difficult when De Bruyne was out for a lot of the season.
He
is probably their best player.
And Fernandinho missed the end of the season. He also missed a spell around Christmas. Like, I mean, they did have some... I'd say that actually this season, Liverpool were amazing. Liverpool were really, really good. Like, probably it's the third best Premier League season ever, and they didn't win the title. However, I'd say they got pretty lucky overall. At the beginning of the season, like, they were running really hot on the defensive end. Alisson was playing really, really well. Shaqiri was coming up with big goals and big moments. Salah didn't really get injured all year. Mane didn't really get injured all year.
Yeah.
Van Dijk didn't get injured all year. Alisson didn't. Whereas City had De Bruyne, who was their player of the season last year, out for pretty much the entire campaign and missed Fernandinho for big stretches of it. Like, so I'd say that Liverpool actually got pretty lucky in some regards. And still couldn't overcome the City team.
But do you think they're the best ever people to come second? Best ever losers? They had 97 points and one defeat, which would have been enough to win the Premier League in all but one of the previous 26 seasons.
Well, I think more than
I read a stat that it was of the last 117 seasons of professional football in England, it would have won 115 of them.
The only two it didn't win, Pep's last two.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is crazy, really. I mean, like, their performance this season deserved a title. Like, when I say they got lucky, I don't mean they got lucky as in they're not good and it made them look good. I mean as in, like, realistically, they're probably like an 86 to 90 point team, and they got 97.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was looking...
Yeah, so lucky in context.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at the expected points table.
Sure.
And they actually massively overperformed Liverpool.
They're around 83,
14
right?
points, yeah. So so they finished on 97 points, but expected points had them at like 83.
And then what were Man City
91.
At?
So again, both teams overperformed
but
quite
teams always overperform at the top end,
But to perform to the tune of 14 points is quite significant.
Is
so again, I think that's not a dig at Liverpool, but more of a testament to City.
Yeah, I mean, overwhelmingly, like, the likely situation next season is that Liverpool are still great, Liverpool still push City, but City pretty much have numbers which make you think they'll get 95-plus points again.
Consistently.
Whereas Liverpool, I'd expect to... They could lose 10 points, and they'd still get as many points as the Invincibles got, but they wouldn't really be in a title race.
And I think also, if you lose a player like Van Dijk in that squad, it makes a massive impact, and they're much less equipped to deal with that impact.
So if Liverpool are the best ever losers, what will it take to overthrow Pep's dominance in the Premier League? What can they do, or do we just have to wait for Pep to leave?
They need to be anti-fragile. Like what they what the situation they have at the moment is, like Pete was saying, like if they lose Van Dijk, then you expect that defence to kind of fall apart. Whereas pretty much anyone gets lost from City, and I trust Pep to work out a way around it. So what they need is another defender, basically, so who is almost as good as Van Dijk. Yeah. They need another elite forward.
They're growing the trees, aren't they?
Yeah, they need another elite forward as well. Like, because at the moment, like those guys, Salah goes down, or Van Dijk goes down, or Robertson goes down, and you're facing a massive, massive downgrade in your first 11.
So could you say that Liverpool lost the title in their 2-1 defeat against Man City in January, but they also drew at Old Trafford in February, and in March they drew against local rivals Everton. So does this mean that they struggle against rivals and Man City don't necessarily have such strong hatred from other clubs?
I don't know if it's that they struggle against rivals. It's just that the biggest games of the season against City, they got 1 point.
But do you think City have an easier ride in the Premier League because historically they have less rivalry? So potentially teams aren't trying as hard.
I think rivalries in the Premier League currently are a lot less than what they were 10, 15 years ago. You know, 10, 15 years ago, there was like proper hatred from sides. I don't think that has
Do properly hate Liverpool.
Yeah, but as a fan. But if you look at the players on the pitch, like Alexis Sanchez, I mean, other than Marcus Rashford, maybe, no one really gives that much of a crap about rivalries.
And I suppose got a beef, though.
A lot of people will try harder against the champions as well.
But I mean, also, I think with City, like, people are just scared. It's happening with Liverpool now as well. Like, people play different ways against these sides. And I don't think that it's like they try harder against Liverpool. I think teams are just genuinely terrified against these sides. But I think also Liverpool are still kind of a work in progress. Like City are pretty much the finished article now. So they have ways to, when they're down to 10 men, they're still amazing. They have ways to break down sitting defenses. They have ways to cut through their rivals. They have ways to shut down attacks. Liverpool are still a little bit reliant on outstanding player quality in some positions.
Yeah, and Pep has said that. Klopp has said that after the end of the season, that this is a stepping stone. This is like the first step we're looking for next season, you know, to progress. And I think if you look how much he's progressed that squad and that club since he's been there, it's been amazing. So for them to continue to get better next season will be interesting.
If they win the Champions League and have come second in the league, that's not bad for a transitional period, is it?
Yeah, though, we've said this before, I think they'd swap happily.
City, to win the league?
City would 100%. Rather win the Champions League than the league, and Liverpool would rather win the league than the Champions League.
I mean, because this is the thing, City have proven everything they've needed to prove in the Premier League.
Well, it's nice that they've retained it. They haven't done that before.
Yeah. And Liverpool have kind of proven everything they needed to prove in the Champions League overall, you know, historically. Yeah. Whereas Liverpool have the monkey on their back that they can't win the Premier League.
Yeah.
City have the same monkey on their back that they can't win the Champions League. So, yeah, I think if you give Liverpool fans a choice of Premier League or Champions League, they would 100% choose the Premier League, which is a weird season to say that they could win the Champions League and still be like, but it could have been better.
Yeah.
So sad. Surely they'll just be thrilled to win the Champions League.
I mean, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll be thrilled,
but there will still be that wee like niggling thought in the back of their mind, being like, we still didn't win the Premier League with 97 points.
That is
how I sleep at night, thinking about that.
And of course, they imagine if they don't win the Champions League.
Oh my goodness!
If
they get 97 points and get to the Champions League final and still have zero trophies at
that
the end of it,
that is the unluckiest.
That is the dream.
No, that would be hilarious. Season.
That'd be one of the worst seasons since like Bayer Leverkusen in like 2002.
It would be great. You literally would not see a Liverpool fan on social media for the entire summer. It would be amazing.
It would actually be great.
So how long do you see Pep staying at Man City? Is he going to try for Champions League for a couple more seasons, or do you reckon one more season and he is gone?
No, I reckon he'll stick around. Like, he re-upped his contract. Like, I think he might go to Italy at some point, but I mean, He did extend his contract, and generally speaking, he's seen out his contract.
Yeah.
Like, but that's got to be Klopp's hope, basically. I think Liverpool have basically got to say, Klopp needs to stick around until Guardiola leaves, and then we'll win the title.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the best hope.
That's depressing, though, isn't it?
I know, but it is funny.
Kind of is the only option.
I don't know. I think Pep suffers from burnout from clubs quite consistently, but I think he's almost in a better mindset at City currently, and you can see him going at least two more seasons.
Yeah,
where if he hasn't won the Champions League by those two seasons, he might look to move on, because again, the one like what, 3, maybe 4 Premier Leagues by that point.
Yeah.
What more is he going to achieve if he?
Yeah, I don't think I see him staying there much longer than 2 more seasons.
But there's no cultural like battle there. Like, so at Bayern, there was always this thing where people were like, you're not respectful enough of the club's history. Like, mm-hmm. you're an outsider. Like, and the players didn't like him. The players complained endlessly about Pep at Bayern because they had this idea of what Bayern was before he came. Of course, they won the Champions League the year before he came. Like, at Barcelona, there's just, like, the constant pressure from above, you know, which is, like, not only do you have to win the league and you have to compete for the Champions League every year. At City, that doesn't exist in quite the same way. Like, at City, he is bigger than the club, really.
Yeah, right. Everything is organised around him there, yeah. isn't it? He's not going to get that somewhere else.
He's kind of viewed that he, not necessarily built the club, but he is a huge part of the reason they're in the position they are now. So again, he has that like authority.
Yeah. And they hired backroom guys with the intention of like getting Pep there one day, like Soriano and Begiristain. They were like, if we get it, we're going to basically do 10 years of backroom organisation.
They groomed
with
him.
The hope that we'll get Pep.
They literally groomed Pep.
They groomed him.
Wow. So this week we've seen news that Manchester City are potentially facing the possibility of a ban from the Champions League if they're found guilty of breaking the financial rules. If they were banned from the Champions League, surely that is Pep out the door.
No, come on.
Well, the ban will be one season.
It'll be one season.
I think it would be pretty harsh for him just to up sticks and leave.
I think it's quite unlikely that UEFA grant the ban.
I mean, we haven't seen something quite like this before, though, where UEFA investigators have recommended a ban.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Man we've City never quite are seen that. Completely denying.
You don't
any
say.
Wrongdoing.
Oh, really?
I'm stunned to learn
that. Didn't see that coming.
I mean, like, it does feel a little bit like, I don't know. I'd be fascinated to see how many points they got in the league if they didn't have to bother with the Champions League. Like I think they'd probably go unbeaten.
115 points
out of 140.
Something outrageous like that. Yeah, I think if you ban them from the Champions League, it just makes it worse for the rest of the Premier League because it'll just poke the beast, and secondly, they'll be able just to almost exclusively dedicate their time to the league and not have to rotate players. You'll have like virtually all their first team squad, barring injuries, playing like all 38 games. Like, there's no reason why they wouldn't, barring, you know,
so
injuries.
So you just don't think it would make any difference? Surely those players, that manager, they want to be playing in the Champions League. If you suddenly lose that,
I mean, you could
put it. It's only a year, though.
Yeah, it's 1 year. And again, the project at Manchester United, the project at Man City seems bigger than 1 year. You know, for the players to be involved in a squad that good and a team that good. Mm-hmm.
Would be worth looking past 1 year.
You would almost take the hit for 1 year because it's not as if you're not going to be contending for the Premier League.
And they don't have any power anyway.
Yeah.
Like, if players are like, oh, we're not in the Champions League, I want to leave, City will just be like, no.
Yeah, but
you
it might stop players coming in.
But they don't really need that many players. I mean, they've got one of the strongest squads.
And also, it'd be
Europe.
Like, you can come and win the title. Like, you can play under Pep Guardiola. Like, I mean, generally speaking, they've targeted, like, youngish players as well.
Yeah,
so it's like, look, okay, like, you know, a player who comes in at 22, 23 doesn't think to themselves, oh, I have to win the Champions League this year.
Fair enough.
And I also think
it will make absolutely no difference.
The pull of the Champions League isn't that significant at City because they've always struggled in that competition. So just coming to play in the Champions League doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win it with City.
And the wages are absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, they just throw money. Again, it might bump up a transfer fee or a wage pack at 10%.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's all it is.
Right, so enough looking at next season. Let's go back to the season that's just finished. Was it the best Premier League season of your time?
how are you defining best?
Most enjoyable, best race.
I mean, I've been alive for every Premier League season.
As have I.
Yeah, but do you remember the ones you've remembered or worked on?
In terms of title race, pure like longevity, I don't remember a title race as good.
No.
Because, again, the top spot has changed so many times. It was changing week on week in the middle of the season. But in terms of pure drama on the last day, you cannot beat 2012 Aguero's goal against QPR. You know,
that was
like
amazing.
The second last minute of the season, he scores to win it on goal difference.
I mean, I laughed a lot at that. Like, that was a very funny season. And also, like, it was like Van Persie's last season at Arsenal, and he was amazing. Like, that was a really fun season. Like, I mean, other than that, also it had the 6-0, the 6-1, didn't it?
6-1, why always me?
That was fantastic. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I haven't actually found this season that entertaining in a lot of ways.
Surely you can't beat the Leicester winning season.
Yeah,
well, that was
the
romantic season
in the league that season.
But if you look at like the quality of football, yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. I find that this season though, like, I mean, like
there are no good teams in the league.
I don't want to watch the good teams. Outrageous. I don't want to watch the good teams.
195 points combined between two teams.
I find them boring, man. Like they're both amazing sides, but I just like I don't particularly ever want to watch them. I actually find the mid table has got a lot more interesting this season. And also, like the games between, say, like Arsenal and United, like have never seemed smaller than they seem now.
Yeah,
like those used to feel like big occasions. They just don't.
But
feel
that's
like
just because they were bigger clubs at that point. They were more significant players in the Premier League than they are now.
I feel like I've enjoyed the Champions League a lot more than the Premier League this season. Yeah. I feel like the Champions League has overshadowed the Premier.
Do you think that's because of the dominance of the English teams and you secretly?
Yeah,
I just love Brexit.
I just think the Champions League has got like it used to be that a couple of years ago, before teams were going into games where they had like a 2-goal deficit or something in the second leg of a Champions League tie, everyone would be like, "No one's ever overturned one of these in Champions League history." And like in the last like 3 years, pretty much every season somebody's overturned a 3-goal deficit. Yeah. Like. Barcelona overturned a 4-goal one. Roma did it last year, a 3-goal one. Yeah. Liverpool did a 3-goal one this year. You know, Spurs came from 3 down on aggregate to win. Like, there's so much weird stuff happened in the Champions League. Spurs came out of their first 3 Champions League group games with 1 point. Yeah. So good.
And everyone loves Ajax as well, don't
they? Yeah, and Ajax have been amazing. Like Ajax are like one of the best underdogs in Champions League history.
So we have 2 English teams in the Champions League final and 2 English teams in the UEFA League final. Is the Premier League the best league in the world, Pete?
I think in a couple of years you might be able to make that argument.
Why do you think it's not?
Well, I think it's the whole like best league in the world thing is quite cyclical. Like if you look at the 90s, you would say Italian football was like the predominant the best in Europe. For the last like decade or so, Spanish football has definitely been the best. If you look at the Champions League, the last 5 winners have all been Spanish. If you look at the Europa League, 6 of the last 9 have been Spanish. So I think until English teams are consistently getting to these finals and winning these tournaments,
but
you can't.
If you could only watch one league for the entire term,
Premier League.
Yeah.
But I think
it's the most interesting, the most competitive.
It's got the highest quality.
Yeah.
It has got the highest
across
quality.
Across the board, yeah, it has the highest quality. Yeah.
So does that not make it the best?
Well, yeah, I would say it's the best in that regard. Mm. But I mean, like, you also might think the best is, like, the best for watching young players, the best for entertainment. Like, Serie A has been really entertaining this season, but, like...
It depends how you define best.
Yeah, I feel like if you matched up every place... In the Prem, you know, like bottom to top against like their counterparts across the Europe's top 5 leagues, I feel like the Prem would win the overwhelming majority of them because they have so much more money. Like there are teams like in the mid table of the Premier League who have genuinely outstanding players playing for them. Like that doesn't really happen in Spain. It doesn't really happen in Germany. So I mean, in that sense, it's the best. But like, I completely am amenable to the idea that other people find other things interesting.
The things, I would personally prefer to watch the Premier League.
That shocks me.
I'll pretend.
Just in terms of quality, though, like on the European stage, if you look at like the semi-finals, not this year, but for the last 4 seasons, only 2 English teams have got to the semi-final stage of the Champions League compared to 7 Spanish.
Sure.
So I mean, it's a reasonable gulf in class at the top end. For the last 10 years.
But I think that that's like when you... I think that that misrepresents how it is now. I think that
you know what I'm saying? It's changing. Yeah, no,
I think it has changed, though, is what I'm saying. Like, I would now expect this to be not necessarily the norm, but to be like not far from the norm. Yeah. I would expect 2 English teams in the Champions League semis pretty much every year now.
But what I'm arguing is that you could make the argument now that it is the best league in the world, but until a couple more seasons of this,
we won't have proof.
You won't have proof that it is significantly the current best league.
So, what's your predictions for the Champions League and Europa League finals?
I mean, I'm hoping with every fibre of my being that Tottenham just pull off something mad against Liverpool. But again,
I can see it.
On the day, one-off game, 2 English teams. It's, you know, it wouldn't be ridiculous to see them win. But again, my head is saying Liverpool.
Patrick?
My head says Liverpool as well.
But what does your heart say?
I genuinely think Spurs might do it. Like, Spurs, Spurs have just done witchcraft so many times this season.
It was a while ago, maybe a couple of weeks. You tweeted about at the end of the season one of the narratives of Klopp and Pochettino will come true.
Yeah, it'll come to an end. Like this idea that Pochettino's never won a trophy and Klopp is a bottler in finals. One of those has to come to an end this season because either Klopp's going to win a final or Pochettino's going to win a trophy.
And he's not going to bottle it.
Or, it'd be crazy.
Or
if
we could just disband the entire Champions League. And
I would rather do that. Let's start the European Super League now.
Start it right now.
And just bin the final.
Yeah.
I think I'd quite like to see Klopp win a final. He'd be so happy.
Yeah, it's quite interesting for you in that you're both Arsenal fans.
Yeah.
So again, there is a rivalry against Spurs.
I don't really hate Spurs that much, though. I don't really care that much about them. I find Liverpool a bit more
obnoxious.
But
also, if Spurs...
No, I definitely hate them more than Liverpool.
But if Spurs win the Champions League, then it gives them a lot more legitimacy.
Yeah, well, that's the issue. Like, I think it's like the season that Spurs made top four and I had to root for Chelsea, basically, to win the Champions League because... It was really important then that Spurs didn't have Champions League football.
What an excellent way to miss out on.
I know, it was tremendous. But I think overall, I think that Liverpool win the UCL, and I think that probably Chelsea will win the Europa.
I thought that before the semi-finals, but they didn't look great against Frankfurt in the second leg.
We didn't look great against Valencia, though.
Yeah, but again, I think especially with Hazard leaving. Depends where his head is, or allegedly leaving.
But he didn't start at least in the I'm not sure how many minutes he ended up playing in the semi, but he didn't start the first leg though.
Yeah.
And I do feel like
he starts in the final.
And a motivated Eden Hazard like is such a like game changing factor.
Will he be motivated? Will he really?
Game at Chelsea potentially.
Yeah,
I mean, admittedly, it's a trophy he's won before, and it's not a big trophy to them. And they've already got Champions League. So from a motivation point of view, Arsenal have more on the line.
I just don't trust them.
The clinical nature of Aubameyang and Lacazette outweighs what Chelsea have to offer.
The only
question is whether Arsenal can keep their leaky defence in order.
But realistically, like finals the last five years or whatever, we've been great. We played three FA Cup finals, we won them all. We played three Community Shields, we won them all. So like one-off games against sides.
And Unai Emery's won the Europa League.
He has. Three times in a row. So yeah. I mean, it's possible. That one to me feels like it has less of an obvious favourite than the Champions League.
So once these finals are done, it's pretty much the end of the season. How do you both feel? Relieved it's all over? We've been watching a lot of football for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean...
It's felt long.
Watching United this season has just taken the fun out of football.
I think you've really aged.
It's taken the last shred of just fun out of football. I've aged, thanks very much. Yeah, I mean, watching what is arguably, you know, the worst United team in a long while.
At least
considering...
I don't feel like it's going to get any better next season.
If you weigh up the talent of the players we have versus the type of football we're playing, how good we actually are and where we're finishing, it is one of the worst seasons.
So are you just going to spend the summer dreading how bad it can... It might be one of those things where you have to hit rock bottom.
But they can actually go and spend like 400 mil and be good. Like if they, all they need to do, like, as long as they don't go mental and just go for big names.
That is exactly what they will
do. But on the other hand, they're linked to like Koulibaly and Wan-Bissaka, like, those players
Wan-Bissaka
definitely improved them.
Would be a great signing.
Yeah.
Those guys improved them for sure. Like if they get
Rabiot was also linked.
You could do these things. Like whereas Arsenal, I have much less faith in.
Yeah,
but I feel like we're a lot more.
But the thing
negative
is,
by nature, probably just from watching Arsenal.
And we're just rubbish. We've got no money. I don't feel like we've progressed this season. I think we're as bad as we've ever been.
Money only helps to a certain extent, though. If you look at the amount United have spent over the last post Ferguson era.
Sure.
Has been huge, and we finished second once, and we're lucky to finish second.
So again, spending big doesn't necessarily.
Having money is a nice problem to have, though.
If you had the right people, though, like in charge, there's basically nothing.
Yeah,
to
but
stop.
This is the issue. Darren Fletcher is favoured to become our technical director, that's not going
to
change.
But
anytime
we're trying
soon.
To get Edu in, like, and who might be good? He might be absolutely rubbish. Like, I have no idea. But even once he's in, we still don't have any money. So it's like Arsenal could hire all the right guys, which arguably they did with Sven Mislintat.
Mm-hmm.
And then said, nah, actually, we don't really like your recommendations. We're going to pursue like 30-year-old midfielders. We're going to get in an old centre-back.
Fantastic.
We're going to get in Lichtsteiner on a free.
Brilliant. So you both are pretty much just going to be spending all this time not watching football, worrying about the football you will be watching.
Oh, I mean, what about the UEFA Nations League? All the people watching that. That's a great tournament, isn't it?
It's not got on for very long, though, is it?
It's like a weekend.
If the Netherlands smash England up, though, then I'll celebrate, but I probably won't watch it.
Wow.
Yeah. I just don't care, man.
So what are you doing this summer instead?
Celebrating my birthday.
You got any fun plans?
Yeah.
What are you doing for your
30,
birthday?
Turning 30.
Whoa.
What I'm doing. Yeah. Whoa. It's so wedding cool. season as well. I've got a load of weddings, and then I'm going to go away. Maybe to Cornwall.
Oh, lovely.
Tropical.
How about you, Pete?
I also have about 60 weddings to attend.
Yeah.
Where are all my invites to all these weddings?
You're not the
trust
right
me,
age
in about 2 years, you'll get them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're not that young. Yeah, so I've got first weddings in a couple of weeks. I think I've got four overall this summer. And then I'm also going to Italy and Slovenia for 2 weeks.
Oh, nice. Are you going to Lake Bled?
Lake Bled, yes.
Ooh,
I've always wanted to go. Apparently it's beautiful.
Yes, I will. It does look incredibly beautiful, and I will send you a postcard.
Thank you.
And then I'm also going to Portugal as well.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah.
But that's not till September.
I'm going to Portugal too.
Where are you going? Other than Portugal?
I'm going to Portugal, and I'm also going to Ibiza.
Basic.
Oh, my God. You can take the girl out of Reading.
Yeah. But she'll still have those white plastic wine glasses in her hand.
I'd carry them before I go.
Yeah.
The game's gone mad.
Right, so our next section is a collection of headlines I've chosen from this week's news, and I just want a quick snapshot opinion from you both on each headline. Yes?
Yeah, shoot.
Can't wait.
The enthusiasm is overwhelming.
We were just being quiet, letting you run the podcast.
Yeah, well.
It is named after you.
It's not named after me. It's called The Game's Gone Mad. Right, so our first one is a quote from Evra.
Okay.
Man United fans are killing Paul Pogba.
Ooh.
Pete, take it away.
Yeah, okay. So I kind of agree with this. I was at the Wolves match this year, before Christmas. Can't remember what day it was, but we drew 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we drew 1-1, or the reason we conceded, was because Paul Pogba turned the ball over in the middle of the park. And everybody around me was like vilifying him.
Yeah.
But they'd, as if they'd just forgotten the previous 60 minutes where he'd been unbelievable and was the largest reason that we were ahead.
Yeah.
So it seems that no matter how good Paul Pogba is, as soon as he does one bad thing, that just washes away everything that's preceded it.
Mm. And football fans are still stupid.
You know, they seem to get stupider when they're grouped together. Stupider?
Yeah, definitely.
More stupid?
Yeah, stupider.
So, I think the expectations aren't necessarily unrealistic that are put on him. Could you look at players like Eden Hazard, who are carrying their team there? We're expecting Pogba to be that player for us, but he doesn't get the credit he deserves when he does perform. And okay, fair enough. He is our leading goal scorer in the Premier League, our leading assist maker in the Premier League. So again, what more can he do in terms of stats? Granted, they are a wee bit inflated because he scored 7 penalties,
sure,
and 2 rebounds of penalties. So he's actually only scored 4 goals from open play, but still, numbers wise, he's put up 13 goals and 9 assists.
Yeah.
Again, and also you compare that, say, assists wise, Eriksen got like 12 assists, Hazard got 15 assists, James Maddison was around 7.
Yeah.
So again, he's like at the top end of the good central midfield creators this season. So the fact that he's been like, fans are vilifying him in the stands, being like, get out of our club, you're horrendous, whatever, shouting at him. I don't understand what they want, what they're going to gain from that, or what positive will come of that.
Do you think, Patrick, that it's the treatment of the fans that will end up pushing him out the door this summer?
I mean, it certainly doesn't help. Like, but also, it's the situation that Man United are in. Like, if Man United, you know, somehow got in like Allegri or something this summer, like, and really rejuvenated the squad, then I'm sure that Pogba would probably have faith in the club's ability to kind of rediscover his best form.
But they're also not going to sack Ole this summer.
Well, exactly. And so from that point of view, I think like it doesn't help. But I think he probably thinks more about like, how am I going to play my best football? Where am I going to win trophies?
Yep.
But I don't know. The problem is once you get this label of someone who like doesn't try, like it just never goes away.
Same with Mesut Ozil.
Yeah, Ozil's exactly the same. And like, there's a little bit of truth in it. Like, of course there's a bit of truth in it, but it's massively blown out of proportion, and you just get that reputation. Like, I mean, so
easy scapegoats, aren't they?
Well, exactly. And to a certain extent, I understand it. Like, if you're the best player on a team, you're expected to lift the team, but you can't do everything.
Yep. Yeah. Barcelona will not sell Coutinho for less than 100 million euros. Patrick, do you see anyone buying him for over 100 million euros?
If Chelsea get their ban overturned, yes. If not, no. Like, because the only other potential suitor would be in Italy, or feasibly Bayern, maybe, but it doesn't feel very Bayern. No. Like, I feel if Bayern are going to spend 100 mil, they're going to go and try and get Sané or something.
Mm. Like, I think Sané would be a better signing for them as well.
I completely agree. But, I mean, Coutinho is like a really good Hazard replacement if he leaves. Yeah. He's actually much more in the Insigne vein than Hazard is. And so that would make a load of sense for me.
It doesn't
and I think
look
he'd
like
be fantastic.
Their ban will be lifted, though.
No, it doesn't. In which case, I think that Barcelona might kind of be stuck with him, like, unless someone like Inter discovers a whole lot of money. But Inter have way more work to do.
At the same time, if Barca are stuck with him, then what do they do? They've been linked to Griezmann heavily now for 125 million euros. They've already bought De Jong. They want, apparently, to buy De Ligt as well. Where are they getting those funds from?
Well, apparently they're going to sell a bunch of assets. Like,
I mean,
the idea is that
Rakitic probably.
So that leads on to the next headline, which is Barcelona are one step away from De Ligt transfer. Do you believe it? Because that's what Marca is saying, but Bild in Germany is saying that it's Liverpool who are going to get him instead. Ooh. That would be such a good partnership with Van Dijk.
That would be absolutely frightening.
Yeah, well, they're partnered together at international level, and they're pretty dirty. But I mean, like, I don't know, man. This is, at least with Liverpool, it's like De Ligt is the guy. Like, get De Ligt, get a forward. That is Liverpool sorted.
Yeah.
Like, and a left back. Whereas, I don't know, with Barcelona, I just think, like, yeah, I understand you need to turn the squad over, but their priorities seem like so out of whack to me. Like, getting in Griezmann, you're like, you're getting in a forward who plays off the right. Like, unless you're planning on binning Suarez or playing 4-2-3-1, like, I don't really get how you're going to do it.
Suarez is aging, so it could be like,
sure, but who plays,
start rotating him out, essentially.
But the only guys that, but if they let Coutinho go, the only guy they've got who can play on the left is Ousmane Dembele, and they don't seem to have favoured Ousmane Dembele this season. So I just kind of think, like, it's just Barcelona, like, building a weird... I think it'd be much more sensible if they put the money into Rabiot. Like, a Rabiot, Arthur, De Jong midfield would do you for the next, like, at least half decade and be incredible. And whilst I love De Ligt, and he looks like a generational talent, the defence is fine. Having Umtiti as your second choice left centre-back is seriously not a problem.
And like, he's going to cost big, isn't he?
Buy a left-back as well, Barcelona. Buy a left-back. They've had Alba there for years. He's ageing. Because they didn't sort his contract out, they got held to ransom by him this summer. Mm-hmm. They're in serious trouble, man.
So you mentioned there about Griezmann signing for Barcelona after he released another video about his...
I kind of rated it, though.
I know, I quite like him for it. I like the drama that surrounds him.
Straight up narcissism, which I really relate to on, like, an empirical level.
Very different hairstyles, though, Pete.
Well, yeah, he looked a bit dishevelled.
He's very dishevelled, doesn't
he? His hair's gone all over the place.
He kind of looked more like a hostage video than a transfer announcement, but yeah.
His hair's got Frencher again. Like, he's gone back to that sort of, like,
the kind curly, of Rabiot levels.
The curly mop that you see on every young man in Paris, and I despise it. You only get it there, and it's the hair of someone who's never been beaten up.
Surely Paris is just a city of Rabiots walking about.
Okay, right. I did mean for us to discuss.
Oh, okay, sorry.
The fact he's now said he will not be staying at Atleti, despite releasing a very dramatic video a year ago saying he would be staying in Madrid. What do you have to say about that?
I like Atletico just going scorched earth on it. Like, he says he doesn't want to stay, and they, like, put it out on Twitter and say we're going to sell him. Like, straight away. It's so good that they're just like, if you're going to do this, we are going to make you look like a dick in front of all the fans. Like, which I think that's a great way to do it. Like, if a player's being a dick, I would 100% go to the fans and be like, he's a dick.
But remember last season when he could have left and he decided not to leave? Because it would have shafted Atletico.
They also gave him a big new contract. Like, I mean, I don't know how much. Do we know that he didn't leave because it would have shafted Atletico? Or do we just think that, like, maybe, like, nobody made a sufficient offer or nobody had met his wage demands?
The romantic in me believes that it was because of his history with Atletico.
Yeah, and there is so much, like, loyalty to Simeone as well within that squad.
They have been shit, though, this season.
But I think,
like, that's the problem.
He is a player that can play for the elite clubs, like the properly top elite clubs.
And if he doesn't go now, he's 28.
Yeah,
I think he's too old to go.
Yeah,
he's the same age as Eden Hazard.
But I would not buy. Yeah, and I wouldn't buy. I wouldn't buy Hazard.
Wouldn't
now.
Buy Hazard.
No, not now.
For 100 million pounds, 100 million euros.
Probably not. But I mean, I'd much rather go for Hazard than Griezmann, just because I think that Hazard is extremely fast. So if he loses a step, he'll still be okay.
Fantastic dribbler.
Also,
I think I prefer watching Hazard.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a lot of money to spend for Griezmann's decline phase.
Mm.
But they both are similar in the fact they like to come out and kind of flirt with their future.
Yeah.
I quite like that, coming out and being like, oh, don't know. Yeah, I mean, I know, little, you don't know.
A little bit of pageantry never goes amiss.
You should just watch the NBA. We should just bin off football and just like watch basketball, which does this so much better and has more intelligent people playing it. As a general rule,
I think I'll stick to football. But let's move on to the next headline, which is Aston Villa beat West Brom to go into the playoff finals.
Cool.
Yeah, big one. Cool.
Leeds or Derby? Who do you want to meet them in the final?
Derby.
Leeds.
Right. Who do you want to see in the Premier League?
Couldn't care less.
Yeah, I mean, I literally haven't watched a single championship.
Right, doesn't
yet.
It look like we'll be doing yes. a championship version no. of this I find podcast, Villa does
really, I find Villa really depressing. Something about them is just very championship-y. Mm. You know, it's like they don't belong. It's
wow.
Like, you know, like I look at like Norwich and I'm just like, oh, your kit just belongs in the championship. It's just not Premier League
the
level.
The Aston Villa kit isn't as offensive as the Norwich kit.
I don't know. Their shorts last night, their shorts were tight and were very
but
aggressive.
Jack Grealish, he belongs
in well,
the
to
Premier
be
League.
Fair,
extremely
I,
revealing.
I would like, I found. Okay, on the Jack Grealish note, I would actually like Villa to not go up and Grealish to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Grealish is great.
Yeah.
Grealish is clearly
yeah,
a Premier League.
But again, if Premier they go up, then he'll almost definitely stay at Villa. And then that'll just be a struggle next season. He'll just be wasted. You know, everything will be on his shoulders in the Premier League.
But then they'll get relegated. He'll go
yeah.
to the
lights. But again, it's a year lost in his
if
career.
If Derby go up, it does legitimise the calls for Frank Lampard in the Chelsea dugout.
I mean, that'll be banter.
That would be great. I would love Chelsea just to carry on making bad decisions. So I'd be totally yeah. up for that.
This is right, fast forward 5 years. Klopp's left Liverpool and tatters. Gerrard comes in. Lampard's in the Chelsea bench.
And on that note, I think that's enough of football for today.
Oh, thank God.
Today's topic for anything but football is that ITV have axed the Jeremy Kyle show after Stephen Diamond died of a suspected suicide just 1 week after being a guest on the show.
Hmm.
Do you think it's about time that show was cancelled?
Yeah, probably. Like, I mean, it seems like
how
trash.
Would you describe to our listeners that don't have never watched the Jeremy Kyle show? What is it?
It's like Jerry Springer, but way more vicious.
It's
and
very
I'd say
vicious.
More like I'd say there's like a worse element of like sort of class.
It's more vindictive.
It's more prurient.
Exploitation.
And like yeah. it's yeah, it's really it pretty much takes people on who are like working class and laughs at them. Mm. And also
laughs at their problems.
And also it legitimizes this idea of lie detectors. So I think he took a lie detector.
Yeah, he did.
And there's this idea that like, you know, people take lie detectors and then like they read the results out like they're gospel truth and everybody in the audience like screams.
He failed the lie detector test, apparently, as well.
And lie detectors are famously pseudoscience. Nobody uses lie
yeah,
detectors.
You can't use them in
they're
court, can
terrible.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're so unreliable.
They're also based on like heart rate, etc., aren't they?
Yeah, they're based
so,
on based
people
on a bunch
are
of
concerned
factors.
The fact that they're under a lie detector test anyway,
yeah.
which raises your heart rate.
Mm. Yeah. It's
that time this show went off yeah. of air, really, wasn't it?
It just feels like a relic of the past. Like all those shows like
it was still going on.
Ricky Lake, Jerry Springer, Montel.
Are they still just, was Jerry Springer still going
no,
on?
No, I think they all disappeared.
Canned as well.
But I just think on the face of it, it is a very grim show in that it is essentially therapy.
It is very grim. However, ITV are now facing a lot of criticism because Love Island,
yeah.
which, I mean, in our office is the talking point of the summer when the football's not on. Because two ex-contestants of Love Island have also committed suicide recently. So should they be looking at taking that off air as well?
I think the two issues are two separate issues.
Yeah,
because the two shows are completely different in that.
Yeah.
Jeremy Kyle is essentially broadcasting a therapy session which deals with proper issues. It's not just like
yeah.
the fluffer issues. There are some proper issues. But broadcasting that to national TV for people's entertainment and also perpetuating negative stereotypes of the class system in Britain. Whereas Love Island is completely different in that it's a dating show that essentially makes overnight celebrities. So the issue there is that they go into the villa with like being nobodies and they come out after like however many months of having no contact with the world to having 1.5, 2 million followers
yeah.
on social media
yeah,
so and not knowing how to deal
so
with that.
Quickly.
So the issue there is that there isn't sufficient aftercare.
Yes.
After they leave the villa yeah. or potentially even care within the villa as well. The issue with Jeremy Kyle is completely different and that whether Love Island should be taken off the air because there has been two deaths linked to the show is its own issue, and that's his own. It shouldn't be influenced in any way by the fact that Jeremy Kyle has been cancelled.
Yeah, it feels less of a causal connection, like, with Love Island. I mean, like, I don't really know the ins and outs of it, but, like, it that essentially feels like people struggling to deal with fame, like, which is a perennial problem, and you do need to think about that if you're going to make people famous, though now people going into it will have a little bit more understanding of that. On the other hand, yeah, with Jeremy Kyle, it's just like, you are, your grossest errors are shown up for people to laugh at and shout at, and I'm sure that people go on there as well thinking, oh well, I didn't actually do anything wrong, so I'll take this lie detector test, and then they fail it for whatever reason, and so it's not even like, at least in Love Island, I feel like if people behave a certain way in there, like, obviously it's edited and obviously it's manipulated, but like, generally speaking, I think that people are criticised for things they've actually done.
Yeah.
Whereas the Jeremy Kyle show isn't quite the same thing. The Jeremy Kyle show is like, is kind of Orwellian.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like Punch and Judy-esque.
Yeah, yeah.
In that, like, they're taking minor details and inflating them and, you know, stirring the pot to get the reaction and to get, but again, not about like dating, about like something significantly more serious than that.
Yeah.
And I think the cynical part of me, Love Island makes a lot of money. Are ITV going to take that off the air?
Yeah, though, I mean,
it is a bit of a cash cow at the minute, to be honest. Like, you can almost guarantee millions of followers per contestant. So obviously that the following and the reach is huge. I think if there is a genuine concern for contestants' well-being, that should, in theory, outweigh any monetary gain.
Yeah, it's good to have the conversation at least. Like, if it means that they do provide better aftercare on Love Island, then
hopefully
overall
they will
it's
now.
Been successful.
But I'm sure everyone is bored of us rambling on. Thank you for listening. If you haven't already checked out our sister podcast, Sunday Vibes Extra Time, you can get some more of Patrick Van Straten. Yeah. What are you talking about this week?
What are we talking about? We're doing the end of season awards.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Any spoilers you can give away now?
Yeah, I've got a list of players who have been scalped by Father Time this season.
Including who?
Including Sergio Busquets.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you for listening. Bye.